disciples, winter's coming. What does that mean for your job?
Well, of course, it means an increased load on the heating plant. The probably the most significant difference is the snow removal that we have to gear up for. In general, you try to staff and equip yourself for a certain level of maintenance functions, since it's not economical to have a lot of staff and equipment sitting around idle. So you try to make your best guess at what the average snowfall is going to be and how you can dig yourself out from under it. It's somewhat of a poker game. We are changing our mode of operation a little bit this year. I backed off on the amount of full-time staff which is going to be available for snow removal. Philosophy being that we have enough staff that we can get the campus open. We can get it so that people can get around. And then we will come back and clear out the parking lots and sidewalks and so forth at a more leisurely pace. There are certain reoccurring activities which have to take place in the wintertime, which such as the sanding of the streets and constant surveillance, particularly in this area where we may get just a light dusting of snow or just enough to make the streets and intersections slick. Because of this, we do staff up. We have people who come in at 4 every morning and hit the major intersections. And we have a supervisory personnel whose primary responsibility is to make sure that the campus streets are safe for travel at all times.
What's the worst of all the type of weather you have during the year, whether it's winter, summer, snow, I don't care. What is the worst weather for keeping the campus clean and safe that you have?
I have to hedge a little bit on that, Steve, because the worst weather is not related to keeping the campus clean and safe. The worst weather for keeping the campus safe is probably what we have out there today if the temperature drops 5 or 6 degrees, which is, of course, icy conditions. The worst weather for keeping it clean is dry, windy weather in the summertime when anything which is not secured in the dumpsters and so forth gets blown around the campus. The worst weather for operating the campus is in the middle of the summer because we're geared up for winter. We're not geared up for summer. Most of our buildings are designed for an air conditioning load of maybe a week of 90 degree weather a year, and when we have periods such as we had this summer, things just keep getting hotter and hotter and people getting more and more uncomfortable. We do not have a central chiller plant which services the whole campus. We do have one which services several of the major buildings on the main campus. As a result, our air conditioning equipment is spread out throughout the buildings in small increments. This is neither efficient nor does it lead to a high degree of reliability as you get in a central steam plant such as we have for the winter time. So basically what it boils down to is we are set up mostly for winter, and we struggle through the summer.
That would be surprised most people, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is a little bit different than most places. And I go to these meetings of physical plant administrators and so forth every once in a while, and of course the first question is, how do you manage up there in the wintertime? It must be a horrible thing. And they're always surprised when I tell them that my biggest problems are air conditioning. In fact, probably the last maintenance disaster that we've had on the campus was 2 years ago, the first time it hit 40 below for the winter. We had a failure on the air conditioning system in the computer center, and we had to shut the computer center down because of lack of air conditioning at 40 below.
That is a bit of a surprise. Now, let's talk about major events like that heavy snowfall last fall, the rain 2 summers ago. What are some of your... How do you prepare for the catastrophic events, and then how do you prepare for the average events?
Well, let's take the average events first, since those should be the ones which you're most able to prepare for. And the way you do this is by developing feedback mechanisms so that you can schedule out as much maintenance as possible and staff up for handling that situation, and then address the peak periods with either overtime or temporary help, or in our case, we have a very good source of almost instant labor in our student forces. In fact, we are almost 100% student help in both our grounds care forces in the summertime and our hand snow removal forces in the wintertime. Those are classified in what I call surprises. One of the measures of success of a physical plant department such as ours is the number of surprises per year. Obviously, we'd like to have them at zero. It's extremely difficult, of course, to prepare for the actual surprises. We know from experience that if we get a real frog strangling rain here in the middle of the summer, that there are certain people who better get to the campus fast. We don't necessarily know where we're going to have problems, but we know we're going to have problems. If we get a heavy snowfall, there are certain things which we have to look after so that we don't get into problems. Probably the most visible one is the beluga. We do sweep the beluga off with a helicopter. However, usually on the conditions in which the thing really needs to be swept off is you can't fly a helicopter. In that case, we are prepared to drop the hardware in the building and let the building come down if need be. Other things, we have, I'm just trying to think now of what would be my worst surprise. My worst surprise would be if I rolled out of bed in the morning and looked out my window and didn't see any smoke coming out of the University of Alaska power plant. If I see that, I know my day isn't going to be all bad. But we do have backup on our electrical system. We're tied into Golden Valley. We have a standby generator. We have almost 50%, excuse me, we have 100% redundancy in our steam generation capabilities with both coal and oil, except for certain periods of the year when it's extremely cold. We could run out of capacity there, and that would mean probably curtailing some activities in some buildings. Just trying to think of other surprises that I've had over the years. I think we're getting them down to a manageable level, but of course that's a dangerous thing to say because who knows what tomorrow may bring.
When you have a surprise, let's say heavy snow or whatever, is your crew such that you can shift people around and have an electrician running a bulldozer or something if you need to?
We are not under a union contract, and most of our job descriptions are set up so that we can do this. It's generally not efficient to do it, and the only time I can ever think of where we've really had crafts, crossing lines in a significant manner has been when the beluga has come down, and we just had to get everybody in snow removal mode. But other than that, we do, of course, if a plumber comes in on a call out and it's a minor electrical problem, he'll take care of it, and vice versa. We theoretically could do that, but we've never had to.
Now, let me go back to snow. With the snow season coming up, is that going to require many man hours and a lot of sand and equipment to keep the snow at a good pace?
I guess you have as good a crystal ball as I do. As you know, the snow in Fairbanks is somewhat fickle. I think I would prefer to see it come in three or four big dumps rather than a couple of inches at a time. But let me just describe what our core force is. We have a lead equipment operator, and we have, let's see, I believe five other equipment operators. We have two laborers who are qualified to operate dump trucks, and we have two other mechanics who, if really push came to shove, we could put them into service. As I said before, the theory is that we have enough core force to get the campus open, and enough. We have two large front-end loaders, which are very efficient for our type of operation in a very congested area. We have a good grader. We are fortunate. We have good equipment now. I am right now in the process of lining up some standby equipment. Never done this before. I just gave away one of my dump trucks to Seward, so we're down to basically one dump truck. My theory here is that we want this backup machinery on call on, say, a 12-hour notice, so that if we have a breakdown in a major piece of our equipment, or if we get a large snowfall that requires a lot of snow hauling, which we do have out of some of the remoter parking lots, then we can get set up for a short-term efficient operation. We have a new sand truck, which the people in the shop have just really built. They took an old garbage truck and mounted a sanding unit on it and rigged up some hydraulics so that our sanding operation should be very efficient. I don't know right offhand how many yards of gravel we do use. For those who remember in the past, we do not use ashes any longer on the streets. This was tried for a couple of years, and we decided that the dirt that it generated in the buildings was not worth the savings and the cost of the gravel. We use pea gravel almost exclusively all winter long, and then, of course, our next big project is to try to get it all cleaned up again in the spring before commencement comes, about 2 weeks after the snow leaves.
You recycle that pea gravel?
Somewhat, yes. We sweep it off the lawns and out into the streets, and where it's practical to put it into a pile big enough to carry off effectively, we do, but it's not a major consideration. I think probably the whole cost of the gravel is somewhere in the order of $10,000 a year.
Okay, so you're going to lose more of that. Cost more in labor to cover it.
Right.
Because I'm sure you're paying a lot of people at least $350.
Our biggest cost is labor. Probably about 80% of our costs are labor. And we figure an average cost is about $26 an hour. So.
That's a little more than $350.
Yes.
I've jumped around quite a bit. Go ahead and take a sip. Any other maintenance things. I basically just wanted to kind of say, winter's coming, here's what maintenance means at UAF of keeping the campus open.
Probably the biggest complaints we have are slippery sidewalks. Here again, it's an optimization process of trying to keep them safe for passage at all times and not spending all your time on them. We do some interesting things, I think, in that the students handle all the snow removal around the dormitories. It's sort of an honor system. All we care about is that they keep the snow shoveled off and they come in and turn in their hours every week. The freeze-up problems will be beginning as the cold weather hits. We still have a number of buildings on the campus which have not been converted to an ethylene glycol mixture and have combined with openable windows. The dormitories are the most notable. Typical scenario here is somebody goes off and leaves their window open at 40 below, and there's a heater right below the window, and they come back and suddenly their room is cold, and they realize that there's what they've done, and they immediately close the window. Well, by this time, of course, the pipe is already broken, but it's not leaking because it's frozen. And then we don't know about the problem until the guy two floors down starts complaining that the water's running into his room. So we try to educate people who, if they come in and find that situation, to leave the window open and leave it frozen until we can get there and deal with the problem. Almost all of our other problems in this area, in terms of winter problems like that, are pilot error, callousness, people leaving doors open where they shouldn't, excuse me. Another very critical area for winter operation is the making sure that proper maintenance has been done on the steam traps. What happens is we have a closed system where the steam leaves the power plant and goes out, heats the buildings, and then is returned to the power plant as condensate and then reheated, and of course, and just runs around in the cycle. And if the steam traps are not functioning properly, then they allow live steam into the condensate system, and the condensate comes back to the plant so hot that it flashes into steam, and we have actually in the past gotten into problems this way. So that's an item which definitely has to be taken care of before every winter. Another area which affects the central heating plant is in the condensate return system. That water is very valuable water. It's treated with a reverse osmosis unit. Probably costs three or four times what our domestic water costs, and it has to be cleaned to be put back into the boilers. If we have a heat exchanger which starts leaking up on the campus and gets contaminated water or glycol back into that system, that can be a problem because we only have limited makeup capacity at the plant. These are some of the day-to-day horrors that we live with.
Does winter cause problems for electrical? We mentioned streets, we mentioned plumbing. Is it causing electrical problems?
No, not really. Of course, we do have the head wall heaters. I guess if I was going to speak of an electrical problem, that would be it. We are taking steps to eliminate some of our problems. Let's face it, that's the name of the game in this business, is to not have problems which continually repeat themselves year after year, but to develop engineering solutions to eliminate the problems. what we're doing on the campus right now is phasing out all of the fuse stats on campus. These have been a continual problem in the past. People don't understand them. They get frustrated with them and break them. They break off inside the receptacle. We have the parts on order right now to convert all of our receptacles to circuit breakers, which I hope will make everybody's life a little bit more pleasant. Particularly mine. Particularly my electricians. I'm not the guy that has to go out there at 30 below and screw in a fuse stat for somebody who doesn't understand that it's supposed to be turned one quarter turn more.
I've jumped around quite a bit. Is there anything that we haven't touched on?
Well, the only I would make some general comments, and this is probably more for our campus audience rather than the general public, but we are also in the process of trying to upgrade our heating and ventilating systems in those buildings where we have the worst problems on campus. As you know, all of our buildings are built by the lowest bidder and designed by architects, and it's a fact of life that when the budget gets tight, the place where the scrimping takes place is in the mechanical systems of the buildings. You've been living in the Greening Building for 4 years now. I think you can understand some of these problems. But basically, it's a long-term program to upgrade all of our mechanical systems in our buildings to be more energy efficient, to provide a more comfortable environment for the users. And to do this, it means replacing either a poorly designed, poorly utilized, or simply out-of-date equipment with more modern, state-of-the-art mechanical systems.
Thank you for your time. In the